Thank you, Glenn. Greetings from Arizona. We'll go a little further west here. It's good to be with you, share with you a little bit of some of the work that we're doing. This is a new project that we just started. We're only in our second year. It's going to be a long-term project, but I figured that if I submitted a title, it would force me to at least summarize these first 2 years of data. So that's what I want to present to you today. And it's kind of an extension of some stuff that I presented here back, I believe it's 2006, on development of some critical levels that Dr. Jeff Silvertooth and I have been working on over the past, 12 years, really, or even possibly even more. So this is kind of an extension of that, trying to take it out and refine some of these recommendations that we have even a little further. So what I want to do is, first of all, give you a little bit of background information on the project, talk a little bit about this development of critical levels that we've done in Arizona, and then move into the current research that we're doing, looking at precise placement of phosphorus. Give you a little bit of literature review there, and really what's making this possible, that's allowing us to do some of this research, are the technological advances that we've seen. The GPS, GIS, RTK, the sub-inch accuracy, auto steer systems, that's allowing us to do some of this, and then give you some of the results and what we plan to do in the future. So, as many of you probably know, cotton production in Arizona and in the desert southwest is fairly intensively managed. We have high input costs from tillage, fertility, water, but we also have high output. We can produce a lot of cotton, and typically very high quality cotton. It has traditionally been this way and continues to be this way. However, we are seeing growers that are beginning to look at different techniques and methods more vigorously as a means of trying to cut down their production costs. We see a lot of subsurface drip going in. We're seeing growers that are moving away from traditional tillage systems to reduce tillage, minimum tillage, that's allowing us to do some of this other research. The research that I'm going to be talking about today is stuff that was done up in the Safford Valley, which is this valley right here. This is the upper Gila River Valley. Gila River runs through there. It's at about 2,900 feet elevation. So that's where this most recent research has taken place. So if we look at phosphorus relations in cotton, this was work that was done by Brian Unruh and Jeff Silvertooth. It was published in 1996 in Agronomy Journal, basically looking at nutrient uptake, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Out of this, we found that it takes about 11 pounds of phosphorus required by the plant to produce a bale of lint. So where does that phosphorus come from? Well, obviously we know that the soil does have some supplying power, but we also know in Arizona that in a lot of cases we are having to apply a supplemental fertilizer to make sure that there's sufficient quantities there for the crop. So at what point do we need to apply that fertilizer? At what soil test level? And that's what we began to address here several years ago. The work that was done early on in this project was done on soils that had fairly high soil test levels. We found that up in the Safford Valley, we encountered some soils that were a lot lower, that allowed us to then begin to look at the response on lower soil test soils. What do we know about phosphorus? Well, we know that it's highly immobile in the soil. Once it's placed in the soil, it doesn't move a whole lot. It is subject to various transformations. Those transformations are largely dependent on the chemical environment that is in. So under high pH soils, you can get precipitation of calcium, magnesium, taking that phosphorus out of solution. Low pH soils, you can run into some similar problems with aluminum and iron. And so this fixation that takes this phosphorus out of solution basically renders it unavailable to the plant. And under our soil conditions, under high pH, we deal significantly with that. So if you look at the relative ability or availability of phosphorus as a function of pH, you can see where most phosphorus, in what range it is available. It's in that range from 5 to 6. Most of our soils in Arizona, and the ones that I'll be describing, are in the range of 8.5. And so we're on that far extreme end of high pH and typically high sodium soils. So some methods that our growers, or we suggest our growers to employ to increase the availability of this phosphorus is placing it as close to the root system as possible. Concentration, to concentrate that phosphorus in a band, basically attempting to minimize the soil contact with that phosphorus. We do not recommend broadcast applications. because of the fact that in that way you're maximizing the soil contact with that fertilizer. So we recommend using banded applications. Timing is not as critical an issue as it is with nitrogen due to the immobility of the phosphorus in the soil. But we have found that applying it early when it's there for proper root development is also important. So over 15 site years of research went into developing these critical levels. We tested ranges of soil test phosphorus from 2 part per million to over 12, and then developed a yield response to these soil test levels and applied phosphorus to develop these critical levels. And I'll just show you one figure. This is a Kate Nelson figure looking at percent relative yield, and this is relative to the control as a function of soil test levels, sodium bicarbonate extractable P. And so you can see below 5 part per million, there's a pretty good chance that we're going to see a positive lint yield response. As you move further past that 5 part per million level, the reliability or the probability of having a positive response to that fertilizer application goes down dramatically. So if you look at the distribution, the response distribution, in the soil test category of less than 5, we had 30 individual comparisons. 27 of those, or 90% of them, provided a positive response. 10% did not. In that range of 5 to 8, we had 39 individual comparisons. 62% were positive, and 38% were no response. And then once you get above 8, it's about a 50-50 chance of seeing a response. And so we feel pretty confident that 5 part per million critical level is adequate for our soils in Arizona. So what we wanted to do in this project now is to take that, now that we know what an accurate critical level is to begin to see if there's ways in which we can manage the placement of that fertilizer to make it more efficient for the plant to take it up. We all know what fertilizer prices have done over the past several years. This prices of diammonium phosphate, back in January of 07, they started to increase, and we saw prices as high as $1,200 a ton for DAP in the summer of 08. They begin to come down. We started this research right during that time when it was up at its peak, and there was quite a bit of interest on the part of the growers to see what we could come up with. So what's allowing us to do some of this research? Well, it's the advancement in these GPS and GIS technologies. The auto steer systems, the sub-inch accuracy, RTK, allows you to come back in within an inch of accuracy to the exact same spot where you were year after year. And so these growers began to purchase or invest in this technology. The first one I saw came in 2003 there in that valley. And basically they were using it so they could have straight rows and eliminate their guess row, which is important, but we wanted to find some better ways for them to use that technology. But basically what it allows you to do is you make your row, you can come back right in there and plant the seed right on top of the row. You can inject fertilizer directly under that row and come and plant right on top of it and be within an inch of accuracy year after year. This is the equipment that we use to inject the fertilizer. These are our treatments. This is it's a telone injector. It's used for injecting telone for nematode control, but we modified it slightly so that we can inject phosphorus fertilizer. It's an injector disc hipper, so it injects the fertilizer about 12 inches below the peak of the bed, and then as it closes that bed up behind it, right behind that shank. So the rationale for why we wanted to do this, first of all, was the immobility of the phosphorus fertilizers and the ability to precisely place a band of phosphorus and then return to that exact same location the following year. Place the seed directly over the band, and also the fact that we will see residual phosphorus in the soil. And I'll show you some soil test data here in a minute that substantiates that. We've also seen, as I mentioned before, movement to a reduced tillage system, consolidation of passes, where they can apply their fertilizer and list at the same time. So the objective or the goal of this is to increase efficiency with respect to that applied phosphorus through precise placement and possibly go to either lower rates or possibly even alternate year fertilization. See if that is feasible. There is some evidence of others that have done work similar to this. Borges and Mollerino in 2001 published a paper where they saw that this was in corn, a significant difference in residual soil test P in deep banding versus broadcast applications, which makes sense. And then in 2006, they came up with the recommendation that if you are doing deep placement or banding of phosphorus, you really need to alter your soil testing techniques to make sure you take into account that phosphorus that is residual in the soil in the lower portions of the profile. So this trial was conducted in 2007 and in 2008 at the Safford Agricultural Center. It's a Pima clay loam soil, 2,900 feet. We used a randomized complete block design. We had 7 treatments, and I'll outline those for you here in just a second. 4 rows wide, 38-inch rows, and the extent of the full length of the irrigation run, which is about 230 feet. This is the initial soil test that we had. This was in the spring of 2007. Just a couple of things to point out here. As I was mentioning before, pH in these areas, 8.5. Whoop. 8.5 pH. Phosphorus was about 4.9, so it's right at that critical level of where we would expect to see a response. But there's also an opportunity that we won't see a response, and I'll show you some of that too. But the other issue that we deal with is the exchangeable sodium percentage of 20.3, which is very high. So these are very calcareous, high pH, high sodium soils. These are the treatments that we employed. Treatments 1 through 7, 1 was our control. We had comparing basically a side dress application, which is the conventional application used by the growers, where they will come in after they plant, the crop is up to about the first leaf, and they'll come in and side dress their application. So we compared that at 3 different rates. In 2007, they were 40, 60, and 100. In 2008, they were 30, 60, and 90, comparing injected versus side dress. This is just a picture of the process of injecting the fertilizer. This is just kind of a schematic of how the side dress application, it's basically applying that phosphorus about 6 inches away from the seed line, 6 to 8 inches and about 6 inches deep. So it's not real deep. So some of the results that we saw in 2007, basically the way we analyzed this was pulled out the injected data and compared it to the control. We saw a response, a significant response in lint yield, where our highest yield was the 60-pound rate of P2O5, significantly higher than the control. We really didn't see any differences in lint quality. However, if you look at the strength column here, we did see trends of higher strength. And all of the phosphorus research that I've done, I've actually never seen this before. But I'll show you some more data here in a minute. But there are definite trends of higher strength with the application of the phosphorus fertilizer. Went from 29.2 to 33.5 grams per tex. If you look at the side dress comparison, we did have a significant response. In this one, the 100-pound P2O5 per acre was the highest yielding treatment. Again, we did see that same trend in strength, and in this case, it's actually statistically significant with an LSD of 1.6. This is just a graphical representation of that 2007 response. We had the blue line is the injected, the red line is the side dress. So this is lint yield as a function of applied P2O5 per acre. 2008, we don't have any of our fiber quality data back. We're still in the process of ginning samples, but I will present the lint yield. 2008 was a year where we did see no response whatsoever to the applied phosphorus. It was not significant at all across all treatments. Same thing with the side dress application, no significant difference. So again, we're in that range of 5 part per million where 60% of the time, you know, when you're right around 5, there's a good chance that you won't see a response. And in 2008, we did not. And there's the graphical representation of the 2008 lint yield, straight line. Let me just kind of here in closing share with you some of the soil test data that we collected. And this was kind of interesting. And this has prompted us to continue this trial because of some of the results that we saw. Again, this was the original soil test data that we pulled out in the spring of 2007. Basically, what we did is went in the fall of 2007 and pulled samples right underneath that seed line. We went in and sampled and basically took just one sample down to a depth of about 18 inches. The control was at about 5.5 parts per million. Those are in parts per million. If you look at the 100-pound injected, that went up to 18 part per million. We did not, so we saw a response, an increase in soil test levels for that first year. In the side dress, we didn't necessarily see that. We even sampled off the bed to try to pick up any residual phosphorus, but we didn't pick up any residual phosphorus even off the side of the bed in the side dress applications. In 2008, this was sampled at the end of this year. This year we sampled two depths, one foot and then down to 2 foot. In an effort to save a little money, we did composite samples across all treatments. In 2007, we took samples out of each experimental unit and had them analyzed separate. But this year we did it, composite samples. We saw some stranger results. This one popped up here in the 0 to 1 foot on the control. We had 12 part per million, which I'm not sure where that came from, but it is what it is. We did, however, see an increase there in our injected rates. Again, our 90-pound injected rate was about 11 part per million. And again, sampling off the side of the bed, we did not pick up any significant increases in residual phosphorus in our side dress applications either. So what our plans are is to basically continue this work, but we're going to alter it just a little bit. And this is just kind of a schematic of how the plots are laid out. This is one replication. These are blocks, again, that are four rows wide and extend the full length of the run. And we have the three rates and the two different techniques of applying. What we're going to do in 2009 is split that field in half. And we'll continue fertilizing with the fertilizer treatments on half of those. And on the other half, we'll terminate the fertilizer treatments and basically see what begins to happen, how things begin to shake out. If we see those soil test levels drop off in the non-fertilized treatments, and just carry it on out. It's not a real expensive trial to do, so we'll carry it on out for as long as we can to keep the plots intact and see what happens. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that anybody might have. Yes? Well, basically, we were trying to pick up where any residual phosphorus that might come from that side dress application. So we were basically trying to sample right in that area. So 6 to 8 inches off the center of the bed where we had applied the side dress phosphorus. But we didn't really pick up any substantial increases there. Yeah.
Are you superimposing the plots year after year?
Yes. Yeah, so with that technology, the sub-inch accuracy GPS, we can come back to the exact same plots and plant directly within an inch of where we were the previous year.
Yeah. How many years do you expect to?
Well, you know, it just kind of depends. We're just going to monitor it and continue to do the treatments and see how things shake out.
But you are continuous cotton.
Yes, it is continuous. Yes, that's a good point. There is no rotation there. It's cotton followed by cotton followed by cotton. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.